I begin our water communion ceremony with an invocation by my colleague, Renee Rahutsky, followed by instructions about the logistics. Gathering of the waters. It was at a gathering of white women when this gathering of the waters first came to pass. White women in a second wave of gender self-awareness, awakening, connecting, making new meaning, shifting the old ethos. The solidarity of these white women was reflected in the waters each brought, waters that became a liquid harmony of each sweet voice and intention. Today, we gather as a community of humans in a new wave of gender and racial awareness, awakening, connecting, making new meaning, shifting the old ethos. Today, we seek more than solidarity and harmony. We seek inclusion. We seek mutuality. We seek reconciliation. We seek justice for all people. Today, may our gathering of the waters reflect the gathering of our collective courage in service of the grace and love that is promised by our liberal faith. Now the logistics. The water will be collected at each of four stations. There's one by the entry door, one by the stairway to the balcony, and two up front on either side. At each station, there is a bowl and a pitcher with water in it. There will also be an attendant to help if you need help. The pitchers at each station are there so that those of you who forgot or didn't know to bring any water this morning have water to contribute. It will be part of our ritual blessing, combining the water from this congregation into the waters from everywhere else. If you need help getting yourself or your water to the nearest station, please ask somebody sitting near you to help you. And when everyone has added their water to the bowl, the attendants will bring the bowls of water forward to combine in one big communal bowl here in the front of the sanctuary. The ritual will be done in silence with background music. While you are waiting your turn, let us reflect on the following. Water is both a symbol of life and a requirement for life. All living things are intimately connected to water and through water. As we share our water communion this morning, we also renew our covenant to each other and the world for our mutual benefit. The Brew Congregational Covenant Preamble reads as follows. Love is the spirit of this congregation, and service is its calling. This is our great covenant, to help each other to thrive, to seek the truth in love, and to dwell together in peace. As you wait your turn, you are encouraged to reflect on what it is in our congregation that you find life-giving, and in what ways you will contribute to the life of our congregation in the year ahead. Let us begin the ritual gathering of the waters. As drops of rain that find each other and build to become a track, a rivulet, a stream, a river, a sea, so are we drawn together. So are we fortunate to find each other. So are we bound together on this shared passage toward an unknown ocean and eternity. Spirit of life, may this water be a sign and symbol of your presence and power, for without water there is no life. Wherever this water is present and however it is used in ritual, May this water be a reminder of the life-affirming power of our covenantal faith community, the sacredness and worth of each human life, and the power of love. Amen. Blessed be, and namaste. Today marks the beginning of the High Holy Days in the Jewish liturgical calendar. Rosh Hashanah, the celebration of the start of the new year, year 5779, is today and tomorrow. It will be followed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, on September 19th. So let me begin by saying, Lashana Tova, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to Brew. I can't tell you how wonderfully welcome I have felt in the last month. And now that I am officially in the pulpit or on the chancel, however it may be, I feel that our shared new ministry can really begin. The annual ingathering and water communion services in Unitarian Universalist congregations in North America, if not around the globe, mark the return after summer living that may take some of us to other spaces and places on Sunday mornings. We tend to live an academic calendar as well as a Gregorian one, or also our fiscal and budgetary ones. Labor Day is behind us. School has started. The weather is supposed to be shifting away from heat and humidity. Part of it's right this weekend. The start of the new church year is a good time to make promises to ourselves and to each other, just like some of us do with New Year's resolutions on January 1st. These promises we make are called a covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement. It is a promise made and is often formally signed by the people or representatives from organizations involved. Covenants have long been part of religious communities, although we may be more familiar with secular covenants, such as legal contracts and the like. Our UU congregation is a free religious society. We don't often think in terms of having a covenant with something greater than ourselves, but in fact, Unitarian Universalism has evolved from earlier forms of covenantal community. Ours is a free church, not controlled by either the nation state or the denomination. That was a driving force in the religious experiment that became real on this continent in the 17th century. An experiment in covenantal community that influenced the structure and form of governance in towns and churches up and down the eastern seaboard of this country, and informed the framing of the United States Constitution in the next century. When someone takes an oath, as I did this past week when I volunteered to be an election judge, we promise to act according to the words in the oath. When a government official, whether elected or appointed, takes the oath of their office, they bind themselves to acting appropriately according to the mantle of that office. Need I say more? When a new citizen takes the oath of citizenship to uphold the U.S. Constitution, they promise to abide by the laws of this country. And I have often felt and thought that those who have become citizens through naturalization rather than birth understand more deeply the importance of the covenant, the promise they made when they swore to be a good citizen. The children and youth in UU religious education and faith development programs understand covenant as the promises we make to each other for how we behave in the group. They create a covenant listing these promises at the start of each church year and sign their names to it. The act of signing is, in effect, making a contract to live by these promises. It gives everyone in the group a visible and tangible reminder of what we said to each other, that we will treat each other well in a spirit of mutual love. And when we do not live up to the aspirations of our covenant, we call each other back into right relationship. Naturalized citizens, most officials, and our children learn the value of being in covenant. Alice Blair Wesley's men's lectures reminded Unitarian Universalists of the importance of our covenantal, liberal, and small h humanist free church history. She also used those lectures to point out how we have fallen short of the intention of covenantal community. The covenantal free church form did not originate in the so-called New World of New England, nor did it originate in the dissenting tradition of the Old World of Old England. The free church tradition is one that has roots in the ancient world of the early church and a Jewish prophet named Yeshua, or Jesus of Nazareth, whose followers were organized by the apostles and met in homes, house churches, practicing a religion of mutual love and separate from the Roman state. However, the idea of covenant is not confined to the ancient Middle East. Among other places, covenant is also found in the Iroquois nation of this continent and tribal cultures of Northern Europe, such as the people who lived in Switzerland. Though they didn't know about non-Judeo-Christian examples of covenant, as Alice Blair Wesley emphasizes in her lecture series, our early New England forebears did understand that the covenantal idea of the free church had been nearly lost many times, and the results of the loss have always been political tyranny and corruption. This, at least in part, is why the gospel, the message, the good news of Unitarian Universalism is so important to this time in our human history. Let me share Alice Blair Wesley's gospel with you again. More than any other single reality, the spirit of mutual love redeems and enhances human life. The good news is we can learn to recognize the presence of the spirit of mutual love among us, and we can, in response, organize ourselves into a free church, a group religiously dedicated to giving the spirit of love a fine chance of working among us for our own sakes and for the sake of the world around us. In 1981, the founding mothers of BRU, Bull Run UU, recognized a need for a free church in Prince William County and organized a group religiously dedicated to giving their collective spirit of mutual love, already present among them, a chance to work here for the sake of the larger community. Fast forward a few decades, and the congregation crafted a new covenant to guide how its members will be in right relationship. It is an aspirational document. Those who have signed strive to help each other thrive, seek the truth in love, and dwell together in peace, as you have heard in the preamble, which I shared at the start of our water communion ritual. These three elements are common in the language of many UU covenants, many of which are variations of the covenant by James Vela Blake that is in the back of the gray hymnal. What I appreciate about the BRU covenant, a document about being in right relationship, is how it translates those poetic phrases into acceptance, integrity, and conflict resolution, and gives ways for living into these aims. I also really like that over half of BRU's 240 members have made their commitment tangible by signing their names to a poster-sized copy of the covenant, just like the children and youth in UU religious education programs do. Today, we lift up this accomplishment before you. Randy, would you pick up the covenant and show it to the congregation? This framed copy of the covenant will be hung in the sanctuary as a reminder of our covenantal, liberal, small-h humanist free church commitment to the spirit of mutual love that moves among us and in our service to the larger community. And Randy, you could put it on the easel there in the corner. It will be hung on the wall there in the sanctuary. So again, the framed copy will be hung in the sanctuary as a reminder of our covenantal, liberal, small-h humanist free church commitment to the spirit of mutual love that moves among us and in our service to the larger community. Now, let us remember, as Mike Cleary said during his sermon on July 22nd, that the placard with the fancy writing and all the signatures is not the Brew Congregational Covenant. The reading, whether in whole or in part, is also not the covenant. Mike led the congregation in reflecting on the impetus behind its drafting and the deeper meaning of the language. He spoke about how it is the lived practice of covenant that makes it real. Being in covenant is a spiritual practice, a practice that surfaces the spirit of mutual love in our work together. We are how we are working together in the spirit of mutual love and nothing more. May the spirit of love flow freely through each of us and among us as we engage in the work of this congregation within and outside of this bricks and mortar building. May we live up to the aspirations of being a covenantal, liberal, and small-h humanist free church at this time in global history. Amen. Blessed be and namaste. We are grateful for these, your gifts. Ours is a free church, and that makes the offering as given and received in our Unitarian Universalist congregations a profoundly political and religious act. To the work of this congregation and Unitarian Universalism, which weave together a tapestry of love and action, we dedicate this offering. At this time in our service, I invite you to settle into a spirit of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life, we are grateful for this community of love, for these people who support us and help us and guide us. We are grateful for the health and well-being of those among us and in our families. Specifically, Gwen Talbot has shared that her brother David is doing very well with the chemo treatment that he's received. We hold in our hearts those who have continuing health concerns, whose lives are challenged by physical ailment, by mental difficulties, or financial difficulties. We lift up those who, because of what has happened in their lives, need to engage with the system of governance in this country. And specifically, Mark Hempen asks you to keep the families of Jesse Hempen and fellow officers in your thoughts and prayers this week as the Ronald Hamilton trial begins on Tuesday. We hold in our hearts concern for the people of this country and around the world as they deal with those who have power, who make laws and decisions that may not be in the best interests of the whole. Because we are a covenantal community, we understand that the spirit of mutual love should guide all of our actions throughout the days of our lives. Amen, blessed be, and namaste. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, number 100, I've Got Peace Like a River. We're singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. May the waters gathered here remind us what each of us brings to this community, and of the waters that nourished us before we were even born, that continue to give us sustenance and energy for our life journeys and that of all creatures on this earth. May we gratefully continue to swim to the other side. Amen, blessed be, and namaste. Randy, would you extinguish the chalice? We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.